Good morning and welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. So glad to have you with us. Good morning. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, your host here for 18 years right here on KFBK and Assets and Aging, the longest running show of its kind in the United States on senior issues, the elderly, frailty, who's going to pay, who's going to take care of me. Lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff to talk about this morning. Stuff to read, stuff to go over, stuff that will hopefully educate. Just a whole bunch of stuff. So you're going to want to stick around and listen. Always when you listen to this show, you should listen with a pencil and paper, unless you're driving, of course. So that you can take notes and you can be informed and you can understand. One of the things we're going to talk about a little bit today is the caregiving industry and what it does to mislead people and misinform people and not always tell them the truth about the issues that they're going to face as we need care and as your mom and dad need care as everybody gets older. So stick with us. A lot to talk about this morning. You can reach me in a lot of different ways. One is you can simply call me. It's simple. You get on the phone and you call 800. Even if you're here in Sacramento, where this show is located, you call my 800 number, 800-999-8007. I've had that number for probably 25 years. 800-999-8007. You can leave me a message. I'm very good about returning phone calls and would be happy to talk to you. If you have a need, if you have questions, if there's stuff you don't understand, then that's always a good place to start. Again, 800-999-8007. You can also go to my website. My website is Assets, ASSETS and AND aging, AGING, assetsandaging.com. And when you go there, you can listen to my past radio shows. They're archived. My podcasts, which I do every Wednesday live at noon, are also archived. You can sign up for an upcoming workshop. I have workshops about once a month, sometimes a little more often. You can ask me a question, or you can sign up for an appointment, or you can just peruse around and get some information. It's why this has been California's single best source for information on long-term care in a really, really, you know, for a long time, folks. Again, assets, ASSETS, and AND, aging, AGING.com. And if you're struggling with these kinds of issues in your family, get in to see me, get informed, begin the process of planning for what in many cases is the inevitable. Not always, but in a lot of cases, the inevitable, which is as we become more frail, we are going to become less able to manage our own lives or the lives of our parents or grandparents or whoever it is. Couple things I got to get out of the way. As always, remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult with an attorney, preferably one that knows what the heck they're talking about. And there's a lot that don't. There's also a lot that do. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license, a recording in Sacramento County, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your request and direction. I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be, because then I can tell you the truth. I'm a notary. I don't know what else. And I cannot install a gas line. I don't know. There's so much stuff you have to put out there now, folks, about all the things you don't do in addition to all the things you do do. Okay. Again, my phone number, 800-999-8007. As I've said a million times, at least on this show, that's not an exaggeration, I get my information all kinds of places. I had somebody in my office yesterday going, how do you stay current on this stuff? Well, I read, I look, I have Google Alerts set up, all kinds of things. And I'm looking constantly wherever I am. So yesterday, I get a throwaway magazine, or the other day, I don't remember when it was. And I'm sitting in a doctor's office. And, you know, you go to your doctor's office, and they always have magazines. Well, there's a magazine there called WebMD. And it's in every doctor's office you've ever been in. Your dentist office has them. They give them out for free. In fact, this one says, complimentary waiting room copy, which I asked my doctor if I could steal, and he said, sure. And the reason I took it was because of an article. You know, on the front of it is a picture of Cameron Diaz, and you'd go, well, okay. But I noticed that on there was unlocking Alzheimer's, are women the key? Well, in my world, that caught my attention. So I started to read the article while I was waiting. I didn't finish it. And I then, you know, went to see the doctor, did that, whatever I was going to do there, and then took the magazine home and finished reading it. And so this is, if you can probably look this up somewhere. I haven't looked it up, but it's WebMD is the name of the magazine. It's May 2016, so it's really current. And again, you could probably Google it and find it. And it's called Gender Gap by Brenda Goodman. Let's see if this says who Brenda Goodman is. Pardon me. It doesn't tell me who Brenda Goodman is. She's the one that wrote the article. And the article is reviewed by a Dr. Michael Smith. But the article is written by Brenda Goodman in the May issue of WebMD, and it's called Gender Gap. And let me read you the heading on this, because this is an important article. It's something that I think a lot of us who've been doing this for a long time have instinctively known, but there's more and more evidence to what we're going to talk about. And the banner heading on this is, research shows that women develop and experience the condition differently than men, that is Alzheimer's. New findings shed light on some reasons why. If you hang around assisted living or boarding care, or you hang around the elderly for very long, you notice that most people receiving care are women. Long-term care should be one of the biggest women's issues on the face of the planet, and it's not. It's not. It's all kinds of other stuff. But the thing that costs the most is aging. It's not the other physical things that impact us. It's aging. Aging winds up costing the most. And if you, again, as I said, if you hang around facilities or the elderly population for very long, you come to the observation early on that most care is being given to women, long-term care, because they're the ones that they make up 80% of nursing homes, 80%, 70% of assisted living, boarding care, and so on. There's lots of reasons, but I want to focus on a couple in this article, because it should be a women's issue, but it's not. There should be a lot more attention paid to it, but it's not. I've talked about this off and on for 18 years, and this article I thought was worth bringing to you again. Let me just read you some stuff to put this in context. Alzheimer's disease hit the Shafferman siblings hard. Audrey was the first. She was diagnosed at age 65, about 3 years before her younger brother, Gene. Audrey died in 2007. Gene's death followed 5 years later. Gene's daughter, Donna, recalls that the disease looked a lot different in her father than it did in her aunt. Aunt Audrey went a lot faster than my father did, says Shore of Littlestown, Pennsylvania. He was so spry and vibrant, and he was able to continue his favorite hobby, dancing, until just a year before his death. Shore is especially grateful that her dad never forgot who she was, calling her by her nickname Sparky right up until his death. I want to get to the gist of the article here. Audrey's loss seemed crueler. That was the aunt. The kind and loving mother and grandmother became paranoid. Now, to some of you, all the stuff that I'm going to talk about here is personal because this is happening to you now. It's happening to your mom or your dad or your grandma or your grandpa or your Aunt Tilly or your best friend or whoever it is. I see dementia every day, literally every day. I see the results of dementia every day, literally every day, not an exaggeration. I'm going to deal with it in three different cases today. So please listen. Audrey's loss seemed crueler. The kind and loving mother and grandmother became paranoid. She accused her daughters of stealing her glasses and her social security checks. That is when she could remember who her children were. That is a very common, paranoia is a very common event in people who develop dementia. And it could be dangerous because that's how children get accused of elder abuse. Because mom tells the neighbor that her daughter is stealing her social security checks or tells her daughter, and all of a sudden Adult Protective Services shows up at the daughter's house wanting to know why she's stealing her mother's money. I've seen it more than I can tell you. Elder law attorneys I know have seen it more than you can imagine. I would have to go to the bathroom and cry because I wasn't used to my mother talking to me that way, says Audrey's daughter, Robin. Studies show that by age, now start listening. You know, Mark Twain, I believe, a long time ago, said there are lies, damned lies, and statistics. Well, I'm going to give you some statistics. Studies show that by age 65, women have about twice... Listen, by the way, another interesting thing. Not only do more women seem to get dementia, remember who the caregivers are of the guys that get dementia. Usually, their wives. Again, it's why I say Alzheimer's and dementia should be a women's issue, but in fact, is not. And it's not because everybody simply believes it's not going to happen. So if it's not going to happen, I don't have to think about it. I read on. Studies show that by age 65, women have about twice the risk of developing Alzheimer's. Listen to me when I say what I'm about to read. About 1 in 6 women will get Alzheimer's after age 65, compared with about 1 in 11 men. Approximately 2/3 of people in the United States with Alzheimer's are women. I mean, let that sink in for a little bit. Now, part of it is age-driven because women live longer. But we're going to debunk some of that in a second here. So 1 in 6 women from age 65 on will develop Alzheimer's. And remember, Alzheimer's is one of only about 8 to 10 forms of dementia. It's the largest one, but there's other forms of dementia. So 1 in 6 women will get Alzheimer's from 65 on, only 1 in 11 men. Not only are women more likely to get Alzheimer's disease, but recent studies suggest the disease progresses more swiftly in women, causing them to decline faster and further than men, at least in the beginning stages. And that has been my observation for the 25 years I've been doing this. Again, it's why I am trying to hammer home the fact that frailty and dementia and Alzheimer's should be at the top of the list of women's issues. They, in fact, are not. They're very rarely discussed even. It's very rare that it's ever discussed as a possibility. Every women's group, every organization, we have every other kind of awareness of women's issues and organizations, but almost none when it comes to the fact that women are almost twice as likely to develop Alzheimer's as men. That's a staggering statistic when you think about it. Women, I'm reading again from this article called Gender Gap. This is from the May issue of WebMD, written by Brenda Goodman. Okay. Women with early, I'm reading, with early memory changes declined about twice as fast as men did, and they ended up worse off. Our findings suggest that men and women at risk of Alzheimer's may be having two very different experiences, said Catherine Lynn, a senior medical student at Duke and lead author of the study. Lynn says it's possible there's something unique to women's biology or life experience that makes them more vulnerable to Alzheimer's disease. Uncovering those factors should be a high priority for future research. It's something that a lot of us have anecdotal evidence for years, but there's just now finally being done some research to determine why. Maybe there is no why. Maybe it's just part of genetic differences between men and women. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm just telling you it's an issue, and it's a huge issue. If I told you as a woman that you had a 1 in 6 chance of developing breast cancer from 65 on, I would have your attention. But studies have shown that women 65 or over have a 1 in 6 chance of developing Alzheimer's. That's a staggering statistic. If I told you that going out today, you had a 1 in 6 chance, if you were 65 or over, of being in an automobile accident, you'd be concerned about that. Of course, you don't. But you have a 1 in 6 chance if you're 65 or over, or your mom or your grandma or your aunt or whoever it is, or your best friend, of developing Alzheimer's. Now, this information's all good. The real question then becomes, what do you do with the information? It's always about what do you do with the information. When you read an article or you get something or you hear something, what do you do with the information? You know, one of the things I've been saying for a long time is hope is not a plan. You are now confronted with the reality that 1 in 6 women over 65 will develop Alzheimer's. So what do you do with that information? How do you begin to plan for that? How do you begin to develop that as children? If you've got a 75-year-old mother, how do you incorporate that information into how you're going to deal with mom down the road, or your grandmother, or whoever it is? I don't know, in your family. I'm just telling you what the reality is. What you do with that reality becomes everything. How you begin to deal with that reality will impact years down the road the way you treat it today. It is still amazing to me, after 25 years of doing this, when people walk into my office and I'm looking at someone who clearly has some cognitive issues, and everybody in the family is in total complete denial about what I'm looking at. So when you have the information that this is out there, what do you do about it? You do not have a 1 in 6 chance of developing diabetes, but we all try to eat better and eat differently and not have a Snickers bar every day. Yet we're confronted with the reality of, if you're 65 or over, you have a 1 in 6 chance if you're a woman of developing Alzheimer's. What's your plan for dealing with that? It's unbelievably important, and it's going to get, as my mom used to say, worser and worser. She used to do that for emphasis. It's going to get worser and worser because our population is getting older. I read something the other day by what I like to call a phony nonprofit. And one of the things they were talking about is there's a bill in the legislature on dealing with providing funds to build more nursing homes. And they said, well, that's a myth. The nursing home population is going down as people find more care in assisted living. They've missed the whole point. people may not be going to nursing homes as often because they're staying home, and they're going to assisted living or boarding cares, but they're just complete idiots because they have not acknowledged the fact that more and more people are in fact struggling with the issue of decline because we have an aging population. So to say fewer people are going to nursing homes and then connect that to there's less need is absolutely idiotic. Of course there's more need. Of course the aging population is going to grow. Of course the need for care is going to grow. I'm going to read on. I'll talk about more of that in the second half hour when I talk about what people are being faced with as they deal with the those who have a vested interest in long-term care and why you're being lied to on a regular basis by those folks. Where did I read off? Oh, let me continue reading here. It's not just that women are living to be older. There's something else going on in terms of the biology, the environment, for women compared to men that may make them at greater risk or, if they have some symptoms, change the progression, said Catherine Yaffe, I hope I pronounced that right, MD, a professor of psychiatry, neurology, and epidemiology at the University of California, San Francisco, by the way, which is about as good a research hospital as there is on the planet. Let me read a couple more things and then I want to sum up here. That increased risk doesn't appear to be shared equally by men and women. A study of more than 8,000 people found that while having one copy of the gene, they're talking about the gene that they think may be related to Alzheimer's, which is APOE4. It's called apolipoprotein. I'll get it out. APOE4. And the statement is that increased risk doesn't appear to be shared equally by men and women. A study of more than 8,000 people found that while having one copy of the gene only modestly increased the risk of memory problems for men, it nearly doubled the risk for women. Even surgical anesthesia is riskier for women. Researchers at Oregon Health and Science University found that men and women who'd been put to sleep for surgery did worse on tests of thinking and memory, and the declines were worse for women. Women also showed more brain shrinkage on MRI scans after anesthesia, said Katie Schnenning, MD and anesthesiologist in Portland, Oregon. My point is, and there's more, but I don't have time to just continue to read the article. My point is, I've been saying for a long time that frailty and getting older is more of an issue for women than men on lots of levels. One is that most caregivers are, in fact, women. And now there is a growing body of evidence that women are almost twice as likely to develop Alzheimer's after age 65 as men. Given that data, what do you do? Well, you have a couple choices. You can do nothing and hope it all works out. Remember, hope is not a plan, but if you want to you can just hope it all works out. Let's just hope it all works out. Why not? It'll be okay. We'll get it figured out. We'll just hope it all works out and that mom's okay. If that's your plan, okay. Or you can begin to take positive steps. You can come in and see me. You can get help from people who know what they're doing. You can go to geriatric care planners. You can do all kinds of things. You can begin to have discussions with your doctor and your family. Families have to be involved in this. But you can begin to take positive steps to begin to plan for this and make a difference in your life and your family's life. I've talked before about parents always say to me, I don't want to be a burden on your children. Okay, parents, mom, so what's your plan to lighten the burden for your children when you develop a cognitive disorder, a form of dementia later on in life, or become frail and you can't deal with yourself? What's your plan, Dad, for dealing with that if your wife or your children are going to be your caregiver? Start by giving me a call, 800-999-8007. Get in to see me. Make a difference. Figure out what you can do to make sure that as you become more frail, or your mom or your dad become more frail, you have a plan in place. Go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Get to one of my workshops. I always have an upcoming workshop. Get to one. You can sign up for it online, or again, call me at any time, 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. We'll be back in just a couple seconds. Stick around here, right here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Welcome back to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. Thanks for joining us here every day or every Sunday. You can get a hold of me in lots of different ways. The easiest is simply calling me, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007, or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, A-S-S-E-T-S. A-N-D-A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. And there you can ask me questions, you can get information, you can sign up for a workshop, you can set up an appointment to come and see me. My phone number is there. You can get all the information you need as on how you can better prepare for and plan for your family member, your loved one, yourself, in dealing with the issues of aging. It's so important, folks. I cannot begin to tell you. We're going to change gears a little bit here. Again, 800-999-8007. And this is something I think you really want to listen to. And pay attention to. I'm going to expand on a podcast I did on Wednesday. You can go to my website and archive this podcast, which I did on May 11th. And I want to spend a little time talking about this. And the subject of the podcast, which I only spend about 12 minutes on. I do them every Wednesday. They're live. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and you can listen to all my archived radio shows and podcasts. But the subject of the podcast was the predatory elder care industry and why you're being lied to. And I want to talk about it a little bit, and I want you to really listen to what I'm trying to say here. Again, the title of the podcast was The Predatory Elder Care Industry and Why You're Being Lied To. And I want to expand on it because in a podcast, sometimes you just don't have time to spend in detail. So let's talk about it. You know, people come to me all the time and they say, Bob, you know, I was told this, I heard this, you can't do this, you can do that. And I'll sit there and say, yeah, but, you know, that's not true. And they'll say, what do you mean that's not true? I read it. I heard it. I saw it. I was told it. I was in it. Part of the reason why is, number one, the Medi-Cal regulations when they come to long-term care are extremely complicated. We're actually, it's such a cesspool of regulations that you cannot begin to understand. A lot of what we're doing in California, we're actually operating under draft regulations done in 1990 that expired in 1991. If you go to some of the regulations, you'll find at the top of the pages in 1-inch stamped letters the word draft. We're operating under other regulations from OBRA 93, the Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act of 1993. we're operating under other regulations that come from the probate code. We're operating under other regulations that come, or laws that come from the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005. We're also operating under what are called emergency regulations, which they don't do as much anymore, but it's just the department one day decides to change the regulations. They do it on the state level, and what the feds do, you know, when all of a sudden the EPA comes out tomorrow with a regulation that says you can't build a pond in your backyard or, you know, whatever it is. You know, I found out the other day I want to put in a new water heater, And the county has come up with a regulation. You have to get a permit to change your water heater. So I'm having a licensed plumber change my water heater, but in order to create a new tax. Now, this is a plumber licensed as a contractor by the state of California. I got to pay a $150 permit to get my water heater changed. So it's those kinds of deals. There's regulations, there's laws, there's rules. It's everywhere. And then sometimes they just make stuff up. Sometimes Medi-Cal just makes stuff up. I have a case right now where the people were denied Medi-Cal because Medi-Cal said they had too much money, but they forgot that from the checking account every month you have to deduct the amount of income to get the true value in the bank account, so they denied the people Medi-Cal dating back to last December. So these people have been private paying for a nursing home since last December because somebody didn't know at Medi-Cal, didn't know the Medi-Cal rules. So you also have a lot of ignorance about Medi-Cal rules. You also have some great people. I recently had a worker in Sacramento approve a case within days because she understood the need and understood the rules and was fabulous. I wish I could give you her name, but I can't, because I don't want to embarrass anybody on either side of the equation. So you have this hot, if you want to have some fun sometime, just go to the state of California website and troll around the Medi-Cal regulations for about 20 minutes and see if you can figure them out. But let's talk about the predatory nature of the long-term care industry and talk about the vested interests of everyone and why they have a vested interest in not letting you know what your rights and responsibilities are. I just went to a website that purports to be for seniors, and yet the entire first page is made up of information on how to file lawsuits. So one of the big things that goes on in the industry is the real money, and the industry has become protective, is that the real money is in suing nursing homes and assisted living facilities and people associated with long-term care. And so the industry, part of it has become very protective about giving out information. I know of people, of nonprofits where people have put on, that specialize in lawsuits, where people have put on lab coats and stethoscopes and gone into nursing homes trolling for clients. So part of the problem is you have an industry that on a lot of levels makes a lot of money off of misinformation. So you'll hear nursing homes, for instance, say, I hear it all the time, well, you have to, you know, Mrs. Schmidlap, what you can't get on Medi-Cal to help you because you have a house and money and you have to spend everything down, or the children are told that. Go to the Medi-Cal regulations and find the word spend down. By the way, it's not in the regulations. It's a made-up word. There's no requirement to spend down. There are asset limits. There are income limits. But there's no requirement to spend down. So why would a nursing home say that? Well, because they get paid more as a private pay patient than as a Medi-Cal patient. It's simple. It's called money. When a hospital discharges you and they discharge you to their own facilities, they make more money. You have the right to go to any facility to get rehabbed. But they'll discharge you to a facility that they have a contract with and make money off of. So they'll tell you to go to Shady Acres over here rehab to get your rehab, or they'll force you to go there, or they'll tell you their doctors don't go there. It's all because of money. You have the right to get rehabbed anywhere, any rehab facility. And there's good ones and there's bad ones, like anything else. You're then told by the nursing home, because the nursing home is making, now remember, rehab is different than being in an actual nursing home for long-term care. It's not a long-term care situation. It's short-term. Medicare is paying for rehab in the nursing home. And they're paying $700 to $900 a day for you to be rehabbed. Now, what happens is somewhere along the line, the nursing home will tell you, Fred's not responding to rehab. He has to leave. No, he doesn't. But so why are they telling you he has to leave? Well, because they want to resell the bed as a rehab bed. Because as a rehab bed, they make $900 a day. And as a long-term care bed being paid for by Medi-Cal, they make about $250 a day. It changes every year, so don't hold me to the numbers. But it's close. So why would they have a vested interest in telling you something that's not true? I have a client right now in a nursing home, and the nursing home threatened to throw the wife out, which they can't do, by the way, because her Medicare days were up. No, they're not. He doesn't have to take her up, but they have a vested interest and making sure you think, well, let's get mom on Medi-Cal. Well, you know, Mr. Schmidlap, you're going to have to spend down, and you're going to lose all your money, and the state's going to come and take all your stuff away when she dies, and you don't really want to do that. Why don't you take her home? Or let's put her in a boarding care or an assisted living facility, which we have a contract with that we get a kickback on. Let's do that. I see that all the time. I wish I could go through something I call the chairs, which is what happens to grandma when she goes into a hospital and then is moved out to rehab, and how many chairs grandma and the family go through with everybody taking a cut of the action along the way. And nobody along there wants to break that food chain. It's a diagram that I do, and at some time, if you come to one of my workshops and ask me to do the chairs, I can do that for you. By the way, I'll come and speak to your group or organization anytime, and you can have me come to your group or organization, and it's free, and I'll diagram the chairs for you. It'll shock you. I've done it in front of legislators, and they don't do anything about it, but they look at it and go, "That really happens?" So one of the problems with the industry is that everybody has a vested interest in keeping you ignorant, in making you believe that you're going to lose your house. Well, you know, Bob, after you die, Mrs. Schmidlap, after you die, the state's going to take your house away, so you don't really want to go. No, they're not. They have the right to place a claim on the estate, but they don't take houses away. They don't come and get your house. Well, Bob, I know you heard that. And then other people have heard, well, you know, you need to take your mom home because you can't do anything because, you know, there's a 5-year look back. Bob, the discharge planner at the hospital told me there's a 5-year look back. So I could tell you the sky's orange. It doesn't mean it's orange. Well, it is sometimes at sunset, but generally it's not orange. See, the problem is in a lot of this stuff, there's a kernel of truth, which is in some states, there's a 5-year look back. There isn't in California. Well, Bob, there's a 3-year look back. No, there's not. We accept 30 months. Technically, it's 24 months because the law making it 30 months was never enacted. But that's okay. We use 30 months in California, and it's really not a look back. It's called a period of ineligibility. See, it's not hard to find out what the truth is. It's not hard to find out that, well, yeah, the state has recovery, but it's relatively easy to protect against. It's not something that's inevitable. So year after year after year, people lose lots and lots and lots of money and spend lots and lots and lots of money and get lots. The long-term care insurance industry. Long-term care insurance is a good thing, folks. It buys choice. But I cannot tell you how many places I've been where I've listened to long-term care pitches and the salesman will tell you, well, there's a 5-year look back. They're going to take your house away. They're going to do, you know. So again, the industry has all across the board, from assisted living to nursing homes to long-term care insurance to whatever, to advisors, to all kinds of people. And I've been to so many $299 trust seminars, folks, I can't go anymore because I can't stand it. There, in Sun City alone, there's probably 27, that's an exaggeration, workshops a day on trusts and how they're going to protect everything you have. And how if you do this and you go into a nursing home, this will do it. And then I cannot tell you how many of those I look at or elder law attorneys that I respect look at and go, this isn't going to protect anything. Well, but I was told that if I had this thing that it would, no, not necessarily, because here's what the rules are and whatever you're doing doesn't fit what those rules are. There is an entire industry, including nonprofits, that has arisen off of keeping people ignorant. You know, one of the great scams in the United States are nonprofits. I mean, how many of you have seen nonprofits of all ilks in which most of the money goes into salaries and administrative stuff? Well, that's no different than in the long-term care or senior business. I mean, the list is long and endless. Everybody has a vested interest in having you not know the truth. So as a result, we get attorneys who write articles telling you you have to get divorced. Why? Because they have a vested interest in doing a divorce for you so that you can at least protect half. In fact, in the industry, it's got a name. It's called half a loaf. Gee, take my advice and you can protect half. We'll just get you divorced and we'll protect half. I cannot go look up, go Google half a loaf. And go see how much information there is on half a loaf. Well, let's just give it to the kids. We'll give it to the kids. Well, I cannot begin. If I had an elder law attorney sitting here, I want to be a little careful here because I don't want to give legal advice because I'm not an attorney. But the list of risks associated with that are staggering. But there are lots of people that like to do that because then they get paid for cleaning up the mess at the end. I have somebody right now there's an attorney cleaning up a mess created by someone else who did a bunch of work based on half a loaf and they did all the deeds wrong to the properties. There's a lot of information floating around out there that people have a vested interest in keeping you ignorant. And so you always have to learn to ask this question. When you hear somebody say, well, you have to spend down, there's a 5-year look back. Mom can only have $2,000. There's an income limit. Your Medicare, by the way, when it comes to Medicare, look up a federal court case called Jimmo versus Sibelius. Ask, you know, I tell my clients sometimes when they're being told their Medicare days are up, ask the nursing home about Jimmo v. Sibelius. I don't have time to go into it right now, but it's a federal court case. It's J-I-M-M-O v, like as in versus Sibelius. I think it's S-E... It's either S-I-B-E-L-I-U-S or S-E-B-L-I-U-S, whatever it is. She was the Secretary of Health and Human Services at the federal level. Jimmo V. Sebelius. If you get Jimmo in, you'll probably get the rest of it, J-I-M-M-O. Being informed and understand is important. And one of the ways is to learn to ask this question. When you hear all that stuff about spend down and they're going to take my house away, and there's this, and there's this, and you can't do this, and then, you know, they're going to kick you out because we have no long-term care beds, or we have no whatever. You need to memorize this question. You ready to memorize? Write it down if you're not driving. And here's how you find out. You ask this question. When somebody gives you information and tells you something, you ask this question. Where does it say that? 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 Well, there's a 5-year look back. Where does it say that? Well, you're required to spend down. Where does it say that? Well, you can just give it to your kids. Where does it say that? Well, you can only have $2,000. Where does it say that? And I could keep going through, they're going to take the house away. Where does it say that? Well, I got a thing for Medi-Cal, so they're going to take my house away. Well, where does it say that? And you just keep going through all the misinformation that the industry has put out there. Where does it say that? Well, the VA will pay for nursing homes. Where does it say that? The VA will pay for assisted. Where does it say that? Medi-Cal won't pay for assisted living. Where does it say that? By the way, there is some assisted living that's paid for by Medi-Cal. So every time you hear something, it's where does it say that? And if the response you get is, well, I heard it somewhere, I read it somewhere, somebody told me somewhere, I'm pretty sure I heard it somewhere, I went to somebody and they told me, that's not an answer. That's when you need to quietly tell that person thank you. And go find somebody else to talk to. The level of information, misinformation, I should say, out there is staggering. It's absolutely staggering. It has driven good people out of the business. It has driven good companies out of the business. Because there are so many groups and organizations and industries that make their living off of misinformation related to long-term care, that I can't even begin. There's not enough time in the day for me to go into all of it. And then I would have to name names and stuff, and that would not be good. I'm just telling you folks that the industry has a vested interest, from hospitals to nursing homes to assisted living to home care agencies to caregivers to placement agencies, to everybody else that's involved in the chairs, has a vested interest in making sure you don't have the correct information. Some of it is just pure ignorance. Some of it is just pure ignorance, but some of it is purposeful. Some of it is to almost all, not some of it, all of it. All of the misinformation that's purposeful is driven economically. Because if you are forced to make decisions you don't want to make because somebody else, a facility or whoever it is, can make more money, it's purposeful. It's important that this is a subject that you become educated in. It's important that you begin to learn to ask the question of where does it say that. It's important that you begin to understand when somebody tells you something, what's the financial interest here? Is it hidden? My financial interest isn't hidden. I'm a for-profit company. I make money by doing what I do because I charge people money for helping them through this. There's no secret to that. A lot of the misinformation is hidden because you don't see the finances. There's something called a pivot list. You can go look up the finances of any nursing home in California. You would be stunned. You would be stunned. And that information is available because they take Medicare and Medi-Cal. So their financials are, you would be stunned. You know, the state of California has collected in the last 20 years somewhere between $1 billion and $1.5 billion by giving people misinformation about recovery. They give that misinformation because they make money from it, folks. But they don't tell people the truth about how you can protect from recovery and that it's not inevitable. If you would like to begin to make a difference in your life, take this information and begin to plan. You can start by calling me today. You can start by finding out the truth. 800-999-8007. There are a lot of people who have a vested interest and incorrect information. My goal is to get you correct information. Or you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, assetsandaging, assetsandaging.com. Get to one of my workshops or just give me a call, 800-999-8007. You can know the truth. You can begin to plan. You can make a difference in your own life and the life of your family, but you have to start it. And it starts with a phone call, 800-999-8007. Well, for Assets and Aging, I'm myself, Bob Scrivano. I hope you have a wonderful and glorious day and week. We'll see you here again next week, same time, same place. Bye-bye.